In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Brandon Scott, John Lopez, and Figgy Fig rolling along with you on In the Loop. Gonna talk about rat poison here in this segment. But okay, before we do that, I do want to give a quick barrel update. We understand how it has affected millions of people in our coverage area, in our region, in our community. There is still 1.3 million people at least without power as of Wednesday, as of today, in our community. That is worth noting. But I would point you to CenterPoint. It's been a rough couple of days for CenterPoint, but and we know even before this there was an issue with their outage maps, with their outage maps, even going back
people
to
people were
our,
using Whataburger maps.
Oh, dude, but even going back to our May event, they had issues. And so, like you mentioned, and this has been a thing as well. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, using Whataburger apps to find out where the power at.
That's
where the power be.
That and Burger King being well prepared.
That's
embarrassing. To still serve.
Yes.
Yo, how is Whataburger outperforming CenterPoint in the energy game, in the map game?
And then they're hiding. Do you realize that CenterPoint took down their contact number from their website?
Dude,
that's the whole idea.
CenterPoint, I'm gonna give y'all a little bit of credit for doing this barrel specific map. They do have a barrel specific outage map now available. You can check that out. KHOU.com, it absolutely has it, so you can find it there. But man, it has been rough going for them.
And I just, as we're talking, I see this tweet from Matt Lanza, who's a weather expert and a blogger. He says, I appreciate the effort with the new, because they actually put one out now.
It's barrel specific, because their actual one, for whatever reason, either doesn't work, malfunctioned, or whatever the hell happened to it.
I don't think it was updating.
He said, I appreciate that with the new highly detailed map of CenterPoint. However, I can also confirm it is not accurate.
Oh, damn. I didn't see Matt's ads. Yeah. I follow Matt. I hadn't seen
him. Yeah, I actually looked up my neighborhood, and they still have my neighborhood with no power.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I actually do have power.
Yeah. Damn, so they put out a map, and it ain't even
they're having a rough time over updating at CenterPoint. They're having a rough day.
If I was looking at that map, I probably would have never went home.
Yeah.
Dude, center point.
Come on now.
Get your
raise your game.
Get your bleep together,
yeah,
man. So rat poison. We hear a lot of the Texans, specifically the ones with Alabama ties, D'Amico Ryans, Christian Harris, Henry Tortoise, a handful of Alabama guys mm-hmm. on the Texans roster and on the coaching staff. We hear them talk about rat poison, not eating the cheese, not believing too much in your press clippings and the hype around you. Alabama obviously has seen a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans now, even though they have not won anything nearly close to what Alabama has and what Alabama is, they now are one of those teams
yeah.
that is very much hyped, very much anticipated, very much believed to be a team that can do a lot of things. And mm-hmm. we've heard a lot of great things about C.J. Stroud, a lot of great things about D'Amico Ryans, a lot of great things about the direction that the Texans are headed.
Yeah.
But you posed this question, Lopez.
I did. Two questions.
A couple of questions
yeah.
about this rat poison. Why would it scare you, and why would it not? I'll let you have the floor.
So I want to ask both of you guys this, because rat poison is a real thing, and I like the way Nick Saban put that, you know, several years ago. Why would rat poison scare you with this Texans team? I'm going to give you the why, and then I'm going to give you the why not, because I don't know what's going to happen. I would lean that it won't. I would lean that they won't eat the cheese, as they like to say. But I'm going to say why it might. And that's not to say I'm predicting it or want it or whatever. I'm just saying this is why I think it might. Dude, this is a still very young team at its most important spots. I know we have Diggs and Schultz and all that, but when you're talking about Tank Dell, C.J. Stroud, Derek Stingley, some of these new guys, Lassiter and such, it's a young, young team.
Yeah.
And when you are young, 21, 22, 23, the culture of rat poison is everywhere around you. You grew up with it. You grew up with people, praising you when you went 0-for-3 in T-ball. You know, yeah, you grew up. Once you grew up to high school and college, of everybody telling you how great you are, and it kind of gets in your system, so to speak.
And we do have more access to each other, more yes. access to reaction than mm-hmm. we ever have in our lives.
Yeah, these are real people. You know, we don't treat them like that. We don't view them like that a lot of times. But they are real people that are affected by, you know, their surroundings and what people are telling them and are saying about them and such. So as much as, like, we have, you know, reason to not think so, I'm gonna get to that here next. But like, these are, like, we've all known 21. We've all been 21, 22, 23. And how would we react? Like, how would you react if people say, "Oh, Brandon, man, you're the best there's ever been"?
Yeah.
You're the next Tom Brady.
I do think it yeah. requires a special quality to be able to do it. Like,
yeah.
we're going to learn a lot about or more about this rookie class. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn more about this team because it is a different situation. It's why we're having a discussion.
Yeah.
They are viewed a lot differently than they were when we were going into last year's training yeah. camp, when we went into last season, right?
Yeah.
They're just viewed a lot differently. But the thing that we also learned about the guys, at least the younger guys that they brought in on the team, was they seem to have, in terms of leadership,
mm-hmm.
the right guys. They seem to be equipped
yes.
for this moment, for the time, for when the time comes where there's rat poison,
yeah.
when the hype seems like it might be a little extra, a little bit too much. A guy like C.J. Stroud, a guy like Will Anderson specifically, these are the types that I do feel like are going to work the same way that they did when nothing was really expected of them.
Yeah.
When the expectations were probably too low, I feel like the habits and the attitude is going to be relatively the same.
Yeah, but that's my why not. I think it comes down to two people, and we know who they are.
I got you.
I think the reason I am not worried about the rat poison, number one and more important than even the quarterback, is D'Amico Ryans. Not only has he lived with the rat poison comment itself, I mean, he didn't play for Nick Saban, but, I mean, he knows Nick Saban. He's been around him a lot. He's been around the program a lot. He knows what being an Alabama player entails and being a successful one entails, and he's built this culture that is almost like bulletproof, you know. So my biggest reason why I don't think they're gonna fall for it, even though there's reason to, like we just said, you know, to think, okay, they're vulnerable because they're young, is D'Amico Ryans. Number two is obviously C.J. Stroud. I think everything trickles down from your quarterback, and there is zero evidence that he is anything but a guy that everyone on this in this locker room is going to follow his lead. And I don't see CJ Stroud ever, you know, falling for any rat poison.
Yeah. So let's go back to your reasons for then, because do you think because of the younger players and how much they might rely on them that might be an issue? Because I don't know how much it'll matter if Kamari Lassiter, if he's eating the rat poison.
No.
Or maybe I'm underplaying that, but you think that it's because they've got some younger players that are going to...
It's human nature.
...that are going to matter for them?
Yes. I know the veterans are going to do what they can. Laramie Tunsil, I didn't mention him earlier. You know, and they're going to show, you know, these guys how things should be done. But, dude, it is... Like, I put myself back at 21 years old.
Yeah.
And if people were just, you know, showering me with all these... And people were around me, you know, that knew I had all of a sudden money and fame and glory... You know, I might get caught up in it. I think it's human nature.
So I brought this up with Seth maybe last week when we were doing the morning show together. I feel like we have drastically understated or underestimated, understated, not talked enough about the leadership because of the reputations that precede them. We don't talk nearly enough about the leadership elements that bringing in a Stephon Diggs and a Joe Mixon and even a Danielle Hunter. We have talked a lot about it with Azeez Al-Shaair because of the background with D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
But I think when we talk about this rat poison, I think they've brought in too many dudes, like dudes with reputations around the NFL that, again, precede their time here with the Texans.
Yeah.
They've brought in too many of those dudes to me to allow there to be that, on top of the fact that I felt like they already had the right DNA in place.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the competitiveness and the obsessive work ethic of a Stephon Diggs, which we do not talk enough about. I know we hit on it earlier in that receiver segment.
Yeah.
But we do not talk enough about it. I feel like that's going to cancel out whatever rat poison a young guy might be prone to eat.
Yeah. And that's part of the plan.
Same thing with a Joe Mixon. I know Joe Mixon's reputation is, you know, because of what happened in college. It's easy to not look at Joe Mixon or Stephon Diggs as leaders because of whatever you might like, however you're predisposed to them. But those are successful dudes for a long time in the NFL that I feel like are going to bring a certain level of accountability to your locker
room. Yeah, and that's part of the D'Amico effect and actually, you know, the Nick Caserio effect as well. Like, this is part of the plan. Not only do they want veteran players because of what they can do on the field, but what they can do off the field, what they can do in the locker room. So don't underestimate that, and I'm not trying to. All I'm saying is, you know, hey, you're a young kid, and you're getting all this. It would be easy. I'm not saying they will, but it would be easy to kind of feel like you don't have to do everything that is called for.
Let me ask you a different question.
Yeah.
Because I heard this being discussed in various different places. And last week, I think we did a segment of the most important non-QB, the most important non-Stroud.
Yeah.
And I sat on the island there. I stood on the island with Will Anderson Jr. Almost everybody else universally agreed with you on Derek Stingley Jr.
Yeah.
I'll concede for a second, all right? Even though I had Will Anderson, let's just concede and make it Derek Stingley. I got a follow-up question to that I want to ask.
Yeah.
Who is the more important Texan out of the two? I want you to think about this. And the audience, 2713-572-4610, is how you get in. Who is the more important Texan between Derek Stingley Jr. and Laramie Tunsil?
Well, a couple things. First of all, when I said Derek Stingley Jr. last week, one of my buddies over at the Texans in the organization texted me, kind of scolded me, like, come on.
Really?
Laramie Tunsil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's got to be Laramie. Protect your quarterback. And I'm making it. He didn't say it like that. It was a text. but it's like, I mean, like, come on. It's got to be Laramie Tunsil. What are you saying? I'm like, I get it. I mean, it's 1 and 1A for me. If you're not talking about C.J. Stroud, those are probably the two most important. Here's why I went with Derek Stingley. Three reasons, to be honest.
We had also, just to be clear, we had also kind of excluded the offensive side for a little bit. Like, we kind of, it almost felt like we were defensive-centric to begin with, but as you were.
But those two, again, it's 1 and 1A. Laramie Tunsil is immensely important. right up there, one or two. I have him at two for this reason. Number one, he can get help. Like Laramie Tunsil, if he's having a hard time, Josh Hines Allen. Hey, it's the first time I've said that. Hines Allen.
Yeah,
felt kind of good
you,
to say that.
It'll take some getting used to.
Felt like when Joshua Hines Allen was.
It's long winded too. It's long winded too. You went from three syllables to more than that.
Yeah. So like in a bad on a bad day or just a bad scheme or just one of those things, Laramie Tunsil can get help. You know, they can move coverages and help and protections and running backs and or tight end or something like that. Derek Stingley ain't getting no help. Derek Stingley, it's on him. You know, the second reason I feel like is, and I said this last week, C.J. Stroud is going to need a left tackle to protect him. But C.J. Stroud can also help the left tackle. Like he can move a little bit. We've seen it backing up in the pocket, rolling out, spinning out of trouble, extending a play and creating a play. So it's not like I'm not diminishing, you know, what the importance of Laramie Tunsil. The third reason is if you can get Derek Stingley to play absolute on an island, shut down corner, the entire entire part of the field is off limits. Like that's not the case on offense. Like if he becomes, you know, Stingley Island or whatever, and I'm not saying he will, but I think he's on that path. All of a sudden, the entire an entire part of the field is not even part of the equation for opposing teams.
But so, I was going to say, do you feel like a team can be better with a elite cornerback or elite left tackle?
Cornerback.
So, yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah. I think that you just need – your left tackle needs to not be bad. Yeah. More so than he needs to be elite.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I feel like you – to me, I will go with the left tackle, but – you can't have a bad cornerback.
No.
Like, I do feel like you can't get far with a decent quarterback or a good cornerback.
Mm-hmm. So, this one is interesting to me because with both of them, the way I look at it is the drop-off if you lose that guy for whatever reason, if that guy is out, the drop-off to me is significant. That's why I think that's fair to say. The drop-off for the next guy that's going to replace them is significant. Oddly enough, I feel better, and maybe this is just me being weird here, but I feel a little bit better about if Derek Stingley, who we know has an injury history, is out, and you've got to rely on Jeff Okuda and Kamari Lassiter and C.J. Henderson and Desmond King and some combination of those guys, at least I have those names down.
Yeah.
Who is your backup left tackle?
Yeah.
It like, because to me, only Kamari Lassiter is in the mix for the, let's call it, cornerback depth.
Yeah.
Is the backup left tackle the rookie that you just drafted?
Yeah.
Is it Blake Fisher? Like, if Laramie Tunsil goes down, are you moving Titus Howard over the left tackle? And if so, do you feel as good about that as you did a couple of years ago?
No, absolutely not.
You know, you don't. And I'm higher on Titus Howard than you are, but even I have to admit that, hey, like, he's going through injuries.
Yeah.
They've moved him to guard. Maybe that's contributed to the issue, whatever it might be. Whatever the case might be, I don't feel as great about that idea as I did maybe, let's say, the last time he did it.
Yeah.
So what's behind Laramie Tunsil? Like,
that's a big factor.
In addition to the importance of the position itself, what's behind him?
What's behind Derek Stingley?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
at least you got more players. I feel like last year it was very thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we are going to see if the Texans either upgraded or downgraded at that position.
They did it for a reason.
Opposite,
man,
of Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we're going to find that out. But what I'm saying is, at least, like, I think by the end of the year, and this is knock on wood, hopefully, if Derek Stingley maintains health and everything, I think by the end of the year, we'll be able to make a serious case that Derek Stingley is the better player, football player than Laramie Tunsil by the end of the year. But in terms of value to the team specifically, the depth behind Laramie Tunsil concerns me a lot more, or even more. I would say it's concerning with both. Let's just be clear. Okay, I want to be upfront about that.
But
I'm more concerned about the depth behind Laramie Tunsil than I am the depth behind Derek.
Yeah,
Stingley.
But see, you got the rookie last there. You brung in two new cornerbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
And you got Desmond King, I guess. I guess he a slot, but if those four guys can't get it done, then that's a serious problem, man.
I've seen all of those dudes play at some point, save for Kamari Lassiter, only in college.
Yeah.
But I've seen all of the rest of them at least play in the NFL before, and I don't think they would be anything close to having Derek. You don't have a shutdown corner anymore.
Yeah.
But do you have
serviceable,
competent NFL cornerbacks out there if Derek Stingley goes down?
Can you get close to Steven Nelson? I ain't got to say you got to beat Steven Nelson, but can you get at least close to that?
So where do you fall then?
That, and that's, to me, the more important to me has to be Laremy Tunsil in that way. I think the better player is going to be Derek Stingley, but the more important one is going to be Laremy Tunsil simply because I don't know what's behind him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that left tackle position, that's the most important for this team.
I'll put it this way. I'm going Derek Stingley, and I'll put it very simply. I think Derek Stingley can win you more games, quote-unquote, by himself than Laremy Tunsil can.
That's John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Brandon Scott with you on In the Loop. Coming up next, The Drive had a discussion yesterday about dogs that I found both interesting and problematic. We're not going to play the audio because I feel like it's damn near incriminating.
Please don't.
But we got to talk about that. That's next on In the Loop.
His trouble with dogs. I mean, he loved dogs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Would you leave your dogs at home with no power,
man,
while you head out to a hotel to save your own ass? That is the question. I know it sounds a little bit absurd, but I heard this discussion yesterday on The Drive, and we're not going to play the audio because I do not think it is redeeming. I don't think it
you
is.
Might get in trouble. Playing yeah, no, that I don't. Audio,
I honestly,
I don't want that stink on me.
I honestly need to go check the podcast pages and make sure that we actually scrubbed.
I don't need that stink on me.
But it did happen. Yeah. It did happen. I have to ask this question though, because myself, and this is how I knew it was bad. Because I need to be clear with you. I am not a dog person. I don't dislike dogs. It's just I didn't grow up with them necessarily, and it's just not necessarily my thing.
Yeah.
And also, I had kids early. So I had early responsibilities.
Those your pets.
Man, a dog was the last thing on my mind. I was trying to figure out how to feed this child at, you know, 21, 22 years old, right? But I'm not a dog person. You guys have dogs and have had dogs and are definitely considered dog people. I had to at least pose this question to y'all.
Yeah.
Would you leave your dogs at home, your in-house dogs, not outhouse dogs or, you know, guard dogs or that type of thing, outdoor dogs, but the dogs that be in your house, that sleep in your, either in your bed or in a bed or are domesticated, for lack of a better term. Would you leave these dogs at home with no power while you go to a hotel?
Why is this even a question?
To save your own ass.
All right, so let's explain. We're not going to play the audio, but let's explain as best we can what happened yesterday, what was discussed. So you were listening. I was listening. I don't know if you were listening, Figgy. I think you were. Clint was asking Tyler about what to do with the dogs, right? And at one point, he kind of said, they're just dogs.
They're just dogs, man. Which I can understand that if you're not a dog person to think that they're just dogs. But they are not just dogs to him.
Yeah.
They live in his house.
Yeah.
They sleep in his bed.
Yep.
When, like, Tyler allows them to throw up and poop on them and all this kind of stuff that I just cannot identify. Really.
They eat off the same forks.
Yeah, man, I do. Oh, my God. I just say it ain't me. It ain't in me. But it is in him.
Yeah.
These are his family.
Now, there's different levels of like, loving your dog. Like, Figgy and I mean, we're at the other extreme. Gibson, you know, was like the best friend I've ever had in my life. I did nothing without Gibson. I'm talking about trips. We would always get pet-friendly hotels. When I would go fishing, he had his own bed at my travel trailer that I keep. He would go on the boat with me. He'd go swimming whenever I stopped fishing in the water and all that. So Gibson, like, I am fully admitting I am on the far end of the spectrum.
You're closer to Tyler when it comes to dogs.
To loving dogs.
Yes.
So I'm going to try to temper that a little bit with just basic stuff. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I'm not mad at him, I'm just disappointed. I'm a little mad at Clint. I think he needs an intervention. I think he needs a dog intervention. And here's why. Like, this is a member of your family. It is absolutely a member of your family. And the other part of it is, if you're saying they're just dogs, you almost have to, like, revisit your relationship with that dog. And again, there are farm dogs, there are outdoor guard dogs who become more accustomed to that. But even those dogs get brought in.
Yeah.
You know?
Even like living in Cleveland, I had an outside dog as a kid that never really came in the house. Yeah. But when there was like a winter blizzard or a freeze storm and stuff like that.
Or heat.
We got to bring them in.
Yeah.
or in our case.
Can't leave them out there because it's just a dog.
Yeah.
In our case, a hurricane. Like, how did the dogs take in the building shaking and the windows breaking and trees falling and all of this other stuff?
Dude, Figgy brought Jackson, the dog he was babysitting, to the studio. I did an entire segment with Jackson on my lap. I mean, you saw that. You were sitting right across. Like, I love dogs. So, okay, tempering it just a little bit. Like, when I say revisit your relationship with your dog, I what I mean is, understand that dog is your his or her entire world. That's what makes dogs great.
They live for you.
You are it. You are it. There is no cousins. There's no aunts. There's no friends. Like, they'll be friendly with other people around you, but with when Stanley looks at Figgy, or when Gibson looked at me, you could see it in their eyes. You are their entire world. So when they need a little something, there ain't nobody else that's going to help them.
So I was shocked by
or that
this.
They'll look to.
I thought that this was part of what makes Clint good on the radio and part of what scares the hell out of me. And I'm gonna explain it this way. This was when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah.
The dude is... Look, this is what I'll say about Clint, and I love this about him. Yeah. I don't love this take and this opinion of his, yes, but he is an authentic, unfiltered dude, man. Mm-hmm. Clint is not performing.
Mm-hmm.
When Clint comes on the radio, he's not performing for you.
Yeah.
That is Clint.
Yeah.
That is who he is, and I respect the hell out of that. This was when keeping it real goes wrong. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Clint, that's one of the things that you say in the group chat. Or yeah, like, and then maybe one of us can be like, hey, man.
That's something you don't say out in public.
No. But Clint doesn't really, I don't think, have that.
Yeah.
Like, if he think it, then he think it. And he going to say it. And that's what it is. And yeah, I think that's that Baytown in him, man. I can respect that element of it, even though this was a shock to my system to hear this out loud on the radio yesterday.
Yeah, and I think what Clint probably need to realize is, you know, Tyler don't have any kids. His dogs are his fur babies. Those are like his kids.
Yeah.
So he can't leave his kids at home and he go to a nice, cool hotel. I stayed at my house with no power because I had the dogs. And it was really rough for Stanley. Stanley struggled through this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no way in hell I could just leave Stanley at the house and the temperature in the house is like 90 degrees. That's so, like leaving the dog in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Like with the windows up.
You can have water, all that stuff, man. It's hot. You can't leave a dog in the car. You can't leave a dog in a hot house like that. They will struggle. Some dogs will struggle.
So, Lopez, what would you do in this situation as a dog lover and a dog, you know, a dog parent, I would
say? What I do and what I've done. Foremost, like, let's say you have to go to a hotel. There are dog friendly hotels. They're flat out. There are, yeah, you know, but let's say you don't do that. Let's say, you know, you've got the generator, you know, going, but it can't really cool the house. It's just fans and stuff. Well, obviously you do that. Let's say that you don't even have that. Let's say you have to spend the night, you know, in a hot house like Figgy did.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Whether you have an enclosed patio or a fenced yard, that would be the time when maybe you can put your dog. I'm not talking about when they're sleeping. You do the best you can with the windows open or whatever. But like, if you have to leave or whatever, I would put Gibson. And this was, I think this was 2008 hurricane, was Ike, is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
No, what? Ike. No, wait, because I got him in 2009. But anyway, at one time we had a big power outage. I would put him just a little tarp over the side of the porch, and so the breeze would be blowing, and then wet towels and a big bowl of water. So he would be laying on wet towels or his bed if that was there in the shade. It's not hard. It's very, very easy. It's stuff you have in your house right now, you know?
So I was on Tyler's side, obviously, because I thought that was just the right side to be on. Again, even as a non-dog person, mm-hmm, okay, I was on Tyler's side. Where he lost me, though, was when he, like, I know Tyler likes to, you know, throw money around and stuff like that. Like, we kind of make a joke about it on the station and everything. But I ain't know he was this bougie. I ain't know Tyler was this level bougie of not even willing to go stay at a Days Inn. This dude dropped in there, well, they wouldn't take us at the Four Seasons, which I thought was a joke at first. I thought he was just joking about that. But when they circled back to it, Tyler was dead ass serious.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't take us at the Four Seasons. So I guess me, my wife, and the dogs got to suffer together in the heat at the house.
Good for him.
What? So this is where I am unlike any of y'all. The Days Inn.
So he wouldn't go to the Days Inn?
Bruh.
I wouldn't.
I've
What's
not
wrong
made
with
it.
The Days Inn?
I've not made it.
I guess they wouldn't take dogs.
Yeah. Well, no. I think the Days Inn we're just gonna use as a boilerplate
okay,
hotel that you can afford.
Okay.
But Tyler's standard is the Four Seasons, and they were booked. Nah. I don't know if they take dogs or not, but they were apparently booked, and he couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And so that's his standard.
No, you stay at the Days Inn.
He would not even consider the Days Inn.
We going to the Mosey Wosey.
Yeah, man, we going to the, the Mosey Wosey, the motel that's got that. That's the only one of its name.
Hey, I'll stay at the Palace Inn and watch everybody have affairs.
Hey,
I pay by the hour.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'd go to the Post Oak Inn where there's a roof or where there's a mirror on the ceiling.
Yeah,
don't ask me why. I know. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
There's a mirror on the ceiling at the Post Oak Inn.
Yeah. This is, come on, Clint. Come on, man.
Come on, Clint first, but also come on, Tyler, man. You better get them dogs out from in the heat and go to that damn Days Inn. All of y'all suffering for no damn reason.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And some dogs probably could take the heat more than others, but I know it's certain dogs that cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's, but especially the ones that live inside. Like, if you want to critique
absolutely
the domestication of dogs, that's your prerogative.
No, you got some outside dogs that can take the heat, man. They
but they still have shade.
Yeah.
You know? And big water bowls, and some of them put the little baby pools so they can lay in the baby pool and cool off.
Yeah, it's the reason why it's a big deal when people leave their dogs, their pets in hot cars in the summertime.
Yes.
Clint said, F them dogs. Leave them dogs. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott. Figgy Fig rolling with us on In the Loop coming up next.
I still can't believe it.
I'm just sitting here thinking about, hey, leave the dogs in the house. Just peace.
They'll be fine.
Could you imagine that? And then my man said it for the whole world to hear it. Clint. Abort mission.
I love Clint, man.
Abort mission, dog. When keeping it real goes wrong. Coming up next, the Astros picked up a win last night against the Marlins. We play the hits. That's next on In the Loop.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Quick barrel update here on In the Loop. Still more than a million people without power.
1.3.
Not a good feeling. Could be days. We are fortunate here in this studio, the three of us, Brandon Scott, John Lopez, and Figgy Fig here with you on In the Loop. All of us have either regained power or had somebody within our own individual village, right, come through for us and do some things for us, right? So we're not complaining personally, but our hearts do go out to the community at large, the region at large, the over 1 million people that are without power
and dogs.
Let's not forget the dogs. Shout out to the dogs specifically, though. And we should make this distinction. We tried to do this in the last segment: the indoor dogs versus the outdoor dogs.
Yeah,
and your own damn peace of mind of knowing
that too,
that your dog is okay. Yeah. Like, even if you think the dog would be fine in the heat, how would you feel if you came back home and your dog was in distress?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
could you imagine
that's my worst. That's why I stayed at home with mine.
Dude.
I'm like, you know what? We all going to thug it out then.
Yeah.
Dude, I am not a dog person. I'd be mortified.
No.
Mortified.
And guilty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine? So, I hope everybody's doing all right, but we do realize that a lot of us just flat out are not.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, downtown Houston, Minute Maid Park, Houston Astros. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, I said, when we were talking about the Astros, I asked this question. Is there a less consequential Astros moment that you can find in the last 7 or 8 years or so since they've been on this run than this game, than this series, because of where everybody's at with Beryl and everything, and the fact that they're just playing the Marlins, right? They're playing the Marlins. They should win. Even if they don't, they can survive it. Even if they do, it does not mean that, you know, that they're going to go win the World Series or anything like that. Like,
right.
It feels kind of inconsequential, but they did win the game, and it was pretty entertaining.
It was dicey for a while.
Got to give them credit. Yeah. Got to give them credit. This was a compelling baseball game that the Astros won with Alex Bregman and Chaz McCormick carrying the offense and Ronel Blanco responding well to a somewhat shaky first inning when he gave up that home.
Yeah, and as much as you look at these next six games before the All-Star break as, okay, you know, take care of business, win your games, in a very unique way, it's kind of become a one of the many pivot points of the entire season because they're so thin in the starting pitching. And by the way, don't look now. I'm not saying, you know, be scared, but the Rangers have won 5 straight games. Yeah. The Rangers are heating up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
even in the rear view, yeah. We kind of dismiss them as even a part of the discussion because you're chasing the Mariners. Mm-hmm. But the Rangers are still kind of like you, a team that seems like it should be better than it's been and is capable of making a run.
Yeah. And that's your next opponent. And then when it comes to the reason I said it's kind of a pivot point is because you got to get through this. I mean, Dana Brown is talking about, we're buyers. I think everybody can acknowledge that they need to be at this point. I don't know how they're going to get it done, but they need to be.
Yeah. We're going to get into that at noon.
And I want to get into the specifics of why that's going to be so important to get through these next 6 games because the thin pitching staff is going to – it could be like a pivot point, you know?
Yeah, for sure. This was actually Alex Bregman, and he wasn't talking about the pitching staff. We'll get into that a little bit more at noon.
Yeah.
But just here's me acknowledging I undersold this series. I undersold this week because I was in – the emotion and the immediacy of Barrow and what that meant. But for the Astros, keep it specific to the Astros, this is a big week. Alex Bregman spoke about that yesterday.
This is an extremely huge week for us. We had finished the first half strong. Obviously, we got over 500, but there's still a lot of work left to do, and this is a big week for us.
Yeah. So, I think it's a huge thing on top of the fact that for one thing, you're playing the Mariners, and the division is just so gettable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of those, like, it's so much different from last year. Remember last year when we had to acknowledge, like, the AOS is a lot better than it had been, and it's going to be a lot harder to win a division, and that rang true. Mm-hmm. That ended up being the case.
Yeah.
It's way worse. Like, it's taking a step back. But I think it's an important mention that you made, though, that the Rangers are lurking.
Yeah, the Rangers are lurking.
They are lurking behind you.
Mariners are the team you face after the All-Star break, so that's why these are so important. And then in the midst of it all, you get news that is just, it's crushing. You know, if you had any hope of Lance McCullers coming back, I think you can just set that hope aside.
So we found out yesterday that they're shutting down Lance McCullers, at least for now. He is a no-throw.
Whatever that is. They, instead of saying shutting down, they go, he's a no-throw.
Well, okay. I think it's just it's just short for he ain't throwing for the next few days. That's all they mean. And maybe it's just like jargon that they use amongst themselves. But it's pretty clear what that means. There is a setback.
Yeah.
What they did say is, we have a spotter. They said that he's sore after his bullpens. I mean, I feel like that is enough to draw enough conclusions.
Yeah, so Lance, I spoke with him today for a while, and we decided to kind of pull back on his progression. He's just not feeling well after his bullpens and his throwing program, so he's going to be no throw for a few days until we sit back down and reevaluate how we're going to, move forward. We're going to sit down and figure that out, right? Just to make sure that we get him back. And when he gets back, we want him to stay and help us. So once we see him, we're going to figure out what's the next step.
Pull back on his progression. What does that mean? Translate that, because we know what that means. Translate pull back on his progression.
Shutting him down. They're shutting him down.
How about we make it one word?
They're softening the blow.
Regression.
Yeah, or regression. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that, like instead of saying he's regressed, we're going to pull back from his progression.
Yes. They're softening the blow.
Let's stop the progressor right now.
Yeah.
Words matter, man.
And then the no throw. He's shut down.
Yeah, it's July, man.
It is July. He's shut down.
You think he's done?
I think Lance McCullers was a flash in the pan. It was a hell of a flash. I think he is an Astros and a Houston legend. Bury me in the H.
For sure.
He is a legend. But he was... People are going to bristle when I say this, but look at his career. He was Mark Pryor.
I'm bristling right now.
Yeah.
I'm bristling at you.
He was Tim. He was a poor man's Tim Lincecum. He had this window of unbelievable greatness. He had this window of The old hands will remember Charlie Kerfeld here in Houston. Remember Charlie Kerfeld? I'm sure you've heard the name.
Yeah.
1986 Astros. I think he won like 16 games. Never heard from again at that level. Like, he is Mark Pryor. I think he won a Cy Young, or certainly had 200-plus strikeouts. I know Lincecum won the Cy Young, maybe twice, and then that's it. He's, you know, Mark Fidrich, if you really want to go back with the old hands.
But see, it is different specifically for, at least for me, with Lance McCullers, and this is why I am a little bit more protective of him and how he is talked about. It's because he did deliver in...
Oh, legendary.
Save for the last time that we saw him, ironically, that I'm making this point. The last time we saw him, he got rocked in the World Series.
Yeah.
I should point that out since I'm going to make this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he has had all of these moments that are key and important to the Astros' success over the last, you know, half decade or so.
There are two things about Lance McCullers. An absolute legend that you may not have won a World Series, at least in 2017, and he was certainly impactful in other ones, in other runs well.
For sure.
Without him. Like, he is an icon. He is also Mark Pryor. He is also Tim Lincecum. He is also Mark Fidrich. He is also Charlie Kerfield. He was a comet. He had this window of 2 or 3 or 4 years, and that's it. Like, I'm just being honest. You know, keeping it real, and people like to say that. I'm just being honest. That was it. He's won 49 regular season games in his career. Now, he's been awesome in the postseason, but since 2017, he's 1-3 in the postseason.
So I don't think we've got to bury him as a pitcher all the way.
Yeah.
But I do think that this should be, at least for me, this is going to be kind of the line of demarcation of where we officially go toward, all right, this guy's got to be a bullpen guy. Like, you can't have, and I know that this has been a point of contention with Lance McCullers for a long time, because it has been a popular belief, even back when he was doing the legendary things, it was a popular belief that he was perfectly suited to come out of the pen. Like, he could be a really good bullpen guy for you. Yeah. And he's always resisted that.
He was talked about at his peak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's resented that and spoken against it and has said very clearly, hey, you know, an exact quote from him that I can remember being there for was, big league pitchers do not grow on trees, and I am a legitimate big league, or big league starters do not grow on trees, and I am a legitimate big league starter. He views himself that way.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was that way. Maybe that was the case back when he said it. I want to say this was 2020 or 2021. This is before we get into this back-to-back issue of Lance McCullers in losing his availability in the 2021 playoffs against the White Sox, and then how things ended up playing out right now, the fact that we haven't seen him since 2022. Before that, this is how he talked. But now, today, to me, it feels like a moment where even Lance, and I love you, Lance, but you got to do some introspection and look at yourself and say, hey, I don't know if I've got it to carry the load that a starter, that I can stretch out in the way that a starter has to, because I can't even get through my bullpens without being sore. This guy is a bullpen pitcher now. This is a piece out of the bullpen now, based off of what we're seeing. The fact that he hasn't pitched in 2 years, and even now, 2 years later, he is slowed down in his bullpens. Not a good look.
Well, but here's where I would disagree with that. Like, I was with you on the bullpen stuff 2 years ago, maybe 4 years ago.
But that was when we were still fighting the starter fight.
Exactly. But if a guy can't recover from a bullpen session without being shut down, you expect him to pitch 3 times in 5 days?
Certainly not.
You honestly expect him to go 3 times in 6 days?
Honestly, we just can't count on him, man.
Yeah.
We can't keep his spot right there. Say, oh, yeah, he's coming back. He's coming. We got to find somebody right now.
I was on that bullpen train. You know, I thought he would be perfect. That curveball, all that stuff is grit. I mean, he's a competitor, all that stuff. Dude, he can't pitch a bullpen session without being shut down right now. And it's been 2 years, man. You want him to pitch it out of the bullpen?
The fall. the Lance McCullers fall here.
I mean, those guys have rubber arms.
Is epic, though. Because, like, he signs that contract. And I think at the time, Lance McCullers probably thought that he was giving them a discount. That they were getting him on a deal the way he viewed himself. And look, if he had stayed healthy, maybe that could have been true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it could have been true, because he is a super, super talented dude. But a 5-year $85 million contract, which is the type of contracts that that the Astros like to sign.
Yeah.
Before the 2021 season, and we haven't seen him since 2022.
Yeah.
Dude.
At this point, the best you can hope for Lance McCullers, and this is so sad considering, you know, what he was and is an opener. He has to be the guy that goes two innings, three innings in a start.
That's the hopeful side now.
That's the best case scenario because he can't be a reliever anymore. And I, like I said, I was all in on that. He can't do it. You can't trust the arm to come back in, you know, on short rest and all that stuff. He can't be a reliable starter that can go into the sixth and the seventh inning because you just keep waiting for the others. The best case scenario is he's an opener for this team.
Speaking of being injury prone and not quite reliable, as we play the hits here, Kawhi Leonard pulled from Team USA.
That was quick.
Yeah.
He is not going to participate. He will be replaced by Derek White of the Boston Celtics.
There we go.
Which I love Derek White, but that's a pretty.
Him on a USA team?
Yeah.
I like it. I think Derek White can play on any of my basketball teams. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Defense, can knock down shots. But that's a pretty nice drop off from Kawhi Leonard to Derek White, I will say. But my question was, how did they think Kawhi Leonard was supposed to be on Team USA to begin with? He can't even get through a week of basketball during the regular season.
They must have saw the video of him limping in.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, man, how is this dude going to play?
I mean, they made it sound good. Like, hey, we've decided, blah, blah, blah. I think this was just Kawhi and Kawhi's people saying, nah, we can't do this.
The word is, though, they observed training camp over the last few days. They've seen how it's gone.
Yeah.
And he out there, apparently, they haven't said this exactly, but you just read between the lines, he out there looking like an old man.
Yeah.
So the Clippers, they've already lost Paul George. They are probably a little bit worried about their investment in Kawhi Leonard and not wanting to waste it. I hate to say this, you know, God bless America, but they don't want to waste it on Team USA, just to be frank about it.
God bless America anyway.
Forget them dogs. Coming up next on In the Loop, how much did yesterday's news on Lance McCullers increase your sense of urgency for the Astros to address their starting pitching? We'll talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Quick barrel update here on In the Loop. Still more than a million people without power.
1.3.
Not a good feeling. Could be days. We are fortunate here in this studio, the three of us, Brandon Scott, John Lopez, and Figgy Fig here with you on In the Loop. All of us have either regained power or had somebody within our own individual village, mm-hmm. right, come through for us and do some things for us, right? So we're not complaining personally, but our hearts do go out to the community at large, the region at large, the over 1 million people that are without power.
And dogs.
Let's not forget the dogs. Shout out to the dogs. Specifically, though, and we should make this distinction. We tried to do this in the last segment. The indoor dogs versus the outdoor dogs.
Yeah.
And your own damn peace of mind of knowing
that too,
that your dog is okay. Yeah. Like, even if you think the dog would be fine in the heat, how would you feel if you came back home and your dog was in distress?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Could you imagine that? My worst. That's why I stayed at home with mine. Dude. I'm like, you know what? We all going to thug it out then.
Yeah.
Dude, I am not a dog person. I'd be mortified.
No.
Mortified.
And guilty.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine? So, yeah. I hope everybody's doing all right, but we do realize that a lot of us just flat out are not.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, downtown Houston, Minute Maid Park, Houston Astros. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, I said, when we were talking about the Astros, I asked this question. Is there a less consequential Astros moment that you can find in the last 7 or 8 years or so since they've been on this run? Then this game, then this series, because of where everybody's at with Beryl and everything, and the fact that they're just playing the Marlins, right? They're playing the Marlins. They should win. Even if they don't, they can survive it. Even if they do, it does not mean that, you know, that they're going to go win the World Series or anything like that. Like, it feels kind of inconsequential, but they did win the game, and it was pretty entertaining.
It was dicey for a while.
Gotta give them credit. Yeah. Gotta give them credit. This was a compelling baseball game that the Astros won with Alex Bregman and Chaz McCormick carrying the offense and Ronel Blanco responding well to a somewhat shaky first inning when he gave up that home.
Yeah, and as much as you look at these next six games before the All-Star break as, okay, you know, take care of business, win your games, in a very unique way, it's kind of become one of the many pivot points of the entire season because they're so thin in the starting pitching. And by the way, don't look now. I'm not saying, you know, be scared, but the Rangers have won 5 straight games. Yeah. The Rangers are heating up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
even in the rear view, we kind of dismiss them as even a part of the discussion because you're chasing the Mariners. Mm-hmm. But the Rangers are still kind of like you, a team that seems like it should be better than it's been.
Yeah.
And is capable of making a run.
Yeah, and that's your next opponent. And then when it comes to the reason I said it's kind of a pivot point is because you got to get through this. I mean, Dana Brown is talking about, we're buyers. I think everybody can acknowledge that they need to be at this point. I don't know how they're going to get it done, but they need to be.
Yeah. We're going to get into that at noon.
And I want to get into the specifics of why that's going to be so important to get through these next six games because the thin pitching staff is going to It could be like a pivot point, you know?
Yeah, for sure. This was actually Alex Bregman, and he wasn't talking about the pitching staff. We'll get into that a little bit more at noon.
Yeah.
But just here's me acknowledging I undersold this series. I undersold this week because I was in the emotion and in the immediacy of of Beryl and what that meant. But for the Astros, keep it specific to the Astros, this is a big week. Alex Bregman spoke about that yesterday.
This is an extremely huge week for us. We have finished the first half strong. Obviously, we got over 500, but there's still a lot of work left to do, and this is a big week for us.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's a huge thing on top of the fact that, for one thing, you're playing the Mariners,
mm-hmm.
and the division is just so gettable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of those, like, so much different from last year. Remember last year when we had to acknowledge, like, the AL West is a lot better
yeah.
than it had been. And it's going to be a lot harder to win a division. And that rang true. Mm-hmm. That ended up being the case.
Yeah.
It's way worse. Like, it's taking a step back. But I think it's an important mention that you made, though, that the Rangers are lurking.
Yeah, they are lurking. The Rangers are lurking.
They are Mariners, lurking behind you.
Mariners are the team you face after the All-Star break. So that's why these are so important. And then in the midst of it all, you get news that is just, it's crushing, you know, if you had any hope of Lance McCullers coming back, I think you can just set that hope aside.
So we found out yesterday that they're shutting down Lance McCullers, at least for now. He is a no-throw.
Whatever that is. They, instead of saying shutting down, they go, he's a no-throw.
Well,
okay.
I think it's just it's just short for he ain't throwing for the next few days.
Yeah.
That's all they mean. And maybe it's just like jargon that they use amongst themselves. But it's pretty clear what that means. There is a setback.
Yeah.
What they did say is, we have a spotter. They said mm-hmm. that he's sore after his bullpens. I mean, I feel like that is enough to draw enough conclusions.
Yeah,
so Lance, I spoke with him today for a while, and we decided to kind of pull back on his progression. He's just not feeling well after his bullpens and his throwing program, so he's going to be no throw for a few days until we sit back down and reevaluate how we're going to, you know, move forward. We're going to sit down and figure that out, right? Just to make sure that we get him back. And when he gets back, we want him to stay and help us. So once we see him, we're going to figure out what's the next step.
Pull back on his progression. What does that mean? Translate that, because we know what that means. Translate pull back on his progression.
Shutting him down. They're shutting him down.
How about we make it one word?
They're softening the blow.
Regression.
Yeah, or regression. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that. Like, instead of saying he's regressed,
yeah,
we're going to pull back from his progression.
Yes. They're softening the blow.
Let's stop the progressor right
now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Words matter, man.
And then the no throw. He's shut down. Yeah,
it's July, man.
It is July. He's shut down.
You think he's done?
I think Lance McCullers was a flash in the pan. It was a hell of a flash. I think he is an Astros and a Houston legend. Bury me in the H.
For sure.
He is a legend. But he was, people are going to bristle when I say this, but look at his career. He was Mark Pryor.
I'm bristling right now.
Yeah.
I'm bristling.
He was a poor man's Tim Lincecum. He had this window of unbelievable greatness. He had this window of, the old hands will remember Charlie Kerfeld here in Houston. Remember Charlie Kerfeld? Okay. I'm sure you've heard the name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1986 Astros. I think he won like 16 games. Never heard from again at that level. Like, he is Mark Pryor. I think he won a Cy Young, or certainly had 200-plus strikeouts. I know Lincecum won the Cy Young maybe twice, and then that's it. He's, you know, Mark Fidrich, if you really want to go back with the old hands.
But see, it is different. Specifically for, at least for me, with Lance McCullers, and this is why I am a little bit more protective of him and how he is talked about. It's because he did deliver in
legendary.
Save for the last time that we saw him, ironically, that I'm making this point. The last time we saw him, he got rocked in the World Series.
Yeah,
I should point that out since I'm going to make this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he has had all of these moments that are key and important to the Astros' success over the last, you know, half decade or so.
There are two things about Lance McCullers. An absolute legend that you may not have won a World Series, at least in 2017, and he was certainly impactful in other ones, in other runs as well.
For sure.
Without him. Like, he is an icon. He is also Mark Pryor. He is also Tim Lincecum. He is also Mark Fidrich. He is also Charlie Kerfield. He was a comet. he had this window of 2 or 3 or 4 years, and that's it. Like, I'm just being honest, you know, keeping it real. You know, people like to say that. I'm just being honest. That was it. He's won 49 regular season games in his career. Now, he's been awesome in the postseason, but since 2017, he's 1-3 in the postseason.
So I don't think we've got to bury him as a pitcher all the way.
Yeah.
But I do think that this should be, at least for me, this is going to be kind of the line of demarcation of where we officially go toward, all right, this guy's got to be a bullpen guy. Like, you can't have, and I know that this has been a point of contention with Lance McCullers for a long time, because it has been a popular belief, even back when he was doing the legendary things, it was a popular belief that he was perfectly suited to come out of the pen. Like, he could be a really good bullpen guy for you. Yeah. And he's always resisted that.
He was talked about at his peak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's resented that and spoken against it and has said very clearly, hey, you know, there an exact quote from him that I can remember being there for was, big league pitchers do not grow on trees, and I am a legitimate big league, or big league starters do not grow on trees, and I am a legitimate big league starter. He views himself that way.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was that way. Maybe that was the case back when he said it. I want to say this was 2020 or 2021. This is before we get into this back-to-back issue of Lance McCullers and losing his availability in the 2021 playoffs against the White Sox, and then how things ended up playing out right now, the fact that we haven't seen him since 2022. Before that, this is how he talked. But now, today, to me, it feels like a moment where even Lance, and I love you, Lance, but you got to do some introspection and look at yourself and say, hey, I don't know if I've got it to carry the load that a starter, that I can stretch out in the way that a starter has to, because I can't even get through my bullpens without being sore. This guy is a bullpen pitcher now. This is a piece out of the bullpen now, based off of what we're seeing. The fact that he hasn't pitched in 2 years, and even now, 2 years later, he is slowed down in his bullpens. Not a good look.
Well, but here's where I would disagree with that. Like, I was with you on the bullpen stuff 2 years ago, maybe 4 years ago.
But that was when we were still fighting the starter fight.
Exactly. But if a guy can't recover from a bullpen session without being shut down, you expect him to pitch 3 times in 5 days?
Certainly not.
You honestly expect him to go 3 times in 6 days?
Honestly, we just can't count on him, man.
Yeah.
We can't keep his spot right there. Say, oh, yeah, he's coming back. He's coming. We got to find somebody right now.
I was on that bullpen train. You know, I thought he would be perfect. That curveball, all that stuff, is grit. I mean, he's a competitor, all that stuff. Dude, he can't pitch a bullpen session without being shut down right now. And it's been 2 years, man. You want him to pitch in, out of the bullpen?
The fall. the Lance McCullers fall here.
I mean, those guys have rubber arms.
Is epic, though. Because, like, he signs that contract. And I think at the time, Lance McCullers probably thought that he was giving them a discount, that they were getting him on a deal the way he viewed himself. And look, if he had stayed healthy, maybe that could have been true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it could have been true, because he is a super, super talented dude. But a 5-year, $85 million contract, which is the type of contracts that the Astros like to sign before the 2021 season, and we haven't seen him since 2022.
Yeah.
Dude.
At this point, the best you can hope for Lance McCullers, and this is so sad considering, you know, what he was and is an opener. He has to be the guy that goes 2 innings, 3 innings in a start.
That's the hopeful side now.
That's the best case scenario, because he can't be a reliever anymore. And I was all in on that. He can't do it. You can't trust the arm to come back in, you know, on short rest and all that stuff. He can't be a reliable starter that can go into the sixth and the seventh inning, because you just keep waiting for the others. At the best case scenario is he's an opener for this team.
Speaking of being injury prone and not quite reliable, as we play the hits here, Kawhi Leonard pulled from Team USA.
That was quick.
Yeah.
He is not going to participate. He will be replaced by Derek White of the Boston Celtics.
There we go.
Which I love Derek White, but that's a pretty...
Him on a USA team?
Yeah.
I mean, and I like it. I think Derek White can play on any of my basketball teams. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Defense. can knock down shots. But that's a pretty nice drop off from Kawhi Leonard to Derek White, I will say. But my question was, how did they think Kawhi Leonard was supposed to be on Team USA to begin with? He can't even get through a week of basketball during the regular season.
They must have saw the video of him limping in.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, man, how is this dude going to play?
I mean, they made it sound good, like, hey, we've decided, blah, blah, blah. I think this was just Kawhi and Kawhi's people saying, nah, we can't do this.
The word is, though, they observed training camp over the last few days. They've seen how it's gone.
Yeah.
And he out there, apparently, they haven't said this exactly, but you just read between the lines, he out there looking like an old man.
Yeah.
So the Clippers, they've already lost Paul George. They are probably a little bit worried about their investment in Kawhi Leonard and not wanting to waste it. I hate to say this, you know, God bless America, but they don't want to waste it on Team USA, just to be exactly. frank about it.
God bless America anyway.
Forget them dogs. Coming up next on In the Loop, how much did yesterday's news on Lance McCullers increase your sense of urgency for the Astros to address their starting pitching? We'll talk about that next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There are two things about Lance McCullers. An absolute legend that you may not have won a World Series, at least in 2017, and he was certainly impactful in other ones, in other runs well.
For sure.
Without him. Like, he is an icon. He is also Mark Pryor. He is also Tim Lincecum. He is also Mark Fidrich. He is also Charlie Kerfield. He was a comet. He had this window of 2 or 3 or 4 years, and that's it. Like, I'm just being honest, you know, keeping it real, and people like to say that. I'm just being honest. That was it. He's won 49 regular season games in his career. Now, he's been awesome in the postseason, but since 2017, he's 1-3 in the postseason.
So I don't think we've got to bury him as a pitcher all the way.
Yeah.
But I do think that this should be, at least for me, this is going to be kind of the line of demarcation of where we officially go toward, all right, this guy's got to be a bullpen guy. Like, we, you can't have, and I know that this has been a point of contention with Lance McCullers for a long time, because there, it has been a popular belief, even back when he was doing the legendary things, it was a popular belief that he was perfectly suited to come out of the pen. Like, he could be a really good bullpen guy for you. Yeah. And he's always resisted that.
He was talked about at his peak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's resented that and spoken against it and has said very clearly, hey, you know, they're an exact quote from him that I can remember being there for was, big league pitchers do not grow on trees, and I am a legitimate big league, or big league starters do not grow on trees, and I am a legitimate big league starter. He views himself that way.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was that way. Maybe that was the case back when he said it. I want to say this was 2020 or 2021. This is before we get into this back-to-back issue of Lance McCullers and losing his availability in the 2021 playoffs against the White Sox, and then how things ended up playing out right now, the fact that we haven't seen him since 2022. Before that, this is how he talked. But now, today, to me, it feels like a moment where even Lance, and I love you, Lance, but you got to do some introspection and, and like look at yourself and say, hey, I don't know if I've got it to carry the load that a starter, that I can stretch out in the way that a starter has to, because I can't even get through my bullpens without being sore. This might, this guy might be, I don't think, not might be, this guy is a bullpen pitcher now. He is a, this is a piece out of the bullpen now, based off of what we're seeing. The fact that he hasn't pitched in 2 years, and even now, 2 years later, he is slowed down in his bullpens. Not a good look. Not a good look.
Well, but here's where I would disagree with that. Like, I was with you on the bullpen stuff 2 years ago, maybe 4 years ago.
But that was when we were still fighting the starter fight.
Exactly. But if a guy can't recover from a bullpen session without being shut down, you expect him to pitch three times in 5 days?
Certainly not.
You honestly expect him to go three times in 6 days?
Honestly, we just can't count on him, man. Yeah. We can't keep his spot right there. Say, oh, yeah, he's coming back. He's coming. We got to find somebody right now.
I was on that bullpen train. You know, I thought he would be perfect. That curveball, all that stuff is grit. I mean, he's a competitor, all that stuff. Dude, he can't pitch a bullpen session without being shut down right now. And it's been 2 years, man. You want him to pitch it out of the bullpen?
The fall. the Lance McCullers fall here.
I mean, those guys have rubber arms.
Is epic, though, because like, he signs that contract, and I think at the time Lance McCullers probably thought that he was giving them a discount, that they were getting him on a deal the way he viewed himself. And look, if he had stayed healthy, maybe that could have been true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it could have been true, because he is a super, super talented dude. But a 5-year, $85 million contract, which is the type of contracts that that the Astros like to sign before the 2021 season, and we haven't seen them since 2022.
At this point, the best you can hope for Lance McCullers, and this is so sad considering, you know, what he was and is an opener. He has to be the guy that goes two innings, three innings in a start.
That's the hopeful side. Now
that's the best case scenario. Because he can't be a reliever anymore. And I was all in on that. He can't do it. You can't trust the arm to come back in, on short rest and all that stuff. He can't be a reliable starter that can go into the sixth and the seventh inning, because you just keep waiting for the others. At the best case scenario is he's an opener for this team.
Speaking of being injury prone and not quite reliable, as we play the hits here, Kawhi Leonard. Pulled from Team USA.
That was quick.
Yeah.
He is not going to participate. He will be replaced by Derek White of the Boston Celtics.
There we go.
Which I love Derek White, but that's a pretty.
Him on a USA team?
Yeah.
I mean, and I like it. I think Derek White can play on any of my basketball teams. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Defense, can knock down shots. But that's a pretty nice drop off from Kawhi Leonard to Derek White, I will say. But my question was, how did they think Kawhi Leonard was supposed to be on Team USA to begin with? He can't even get through a week of basketball during the regular season.
They must have saw the video of him limping in.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, man, how is this dude going to play?
I mean, they made it sound good. Like, hey, we've decided, blah, blah, blah. I think this was just Kawhi and Kawhi's people saying, nah, we can't do this.
The word is, though, they observed training camp over the last few days. They've seen how it's gone.
Yeah.
And he out there, apparently, they haven't said this exactly, but you just – read between the lines, he out there looking like an old man.
Yeah.
So the Clippers, they already lost Paul George. They are probably a little bit worried about their investment in Kawhi Leonard and not wanting to waste it. I hate to say this, you know, God bless America,
yeah,
but they don't want to waste it on Team USA, just to be frank about it.
God bless America anyway.
Forget them dogs. Coming up next on In the Loop, how much did yesterday's news on Lance McCullers increase your sense of urgency for the Astros to address their starting pitching? We'll talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.